Engaging conversation on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
Well, hello, friends. Pro-life leader Frank Pavone here of Priests for Life. Welcome to Praying for America. Tonight, we have something very special. As you know, we often acknowledge that we have viewers from around the world joining this program. And tonight, we're going to be talking with one of our international friends, a pro-life leader from Peru. And we're going to talk about some great progress that they have made in their country recently and a worldwide observance called the Day of the Unborn Child. So we're very happy. We'll go to our friend in just a moment after we do our usual scripture and prayer. But thank you once again, friends, for always for joining us. Let's pray together from Psalm 125. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth and forevermore. For the scepter of wickedness shall not rest on the land allotted to the righteous, lest the righteous stretch out their hands to do wrong. Do good, Lord, to those who are good, and to those who are upright in their hearts. But those who turn aside to their crooked ways, the Lord will lead away with evildoers. Peace be upon Israel. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the worldwide community of faith of which we are part, the worldwide community working for freedom, working for the protection of human rights, starting with the most fundamental right, the right to life. Thank you, Lord God, for the way in which, by serving our own nations and strengthening our own nations, we can assist one another, because we all struggle against the global push towards tyranny and abortion and the disregard for basic human rights, the attack on the family. Lord, these are worldwide issues, and we are best ready to deal with them when we recognize the global nature of this problem and of this battle. Bless us tonight as we extend our conversation and speak internationally about the right to life and about steps that governments can take to gain victory over this important issue. Lord, as we face the challenge in the United States from those who think that they can win elections based on abortion, Lord God, we strengthen ourselves in you, and we ask that we would sharpen our understanding of how to fight back against those who would destroy these most fundamental rights. We ask all of this as we place ourselves, our nation, and our world into your hands once again, through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Well, friends, one of our colleagues in the great effort for human rights and the right to life especially has been the Population Research Institute. And today we're joined by a pro-life leader from Peru who is the regional director for this organization, Population Research Institute, and he is Carlos Polo joining us today. Carlos, thank you so much for being with us and taking time to speak to our audience. Welcome.
Thank you, Father. Thank you. I am very happy to be with you. I admire you. I pray for you many times, and help for all your help to the international pro-life movement.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And, you know, our audience here consists of many pro-life activists, but also many people who are simply working for our political progress in the United States and working to elect good candidates. And I often mention how, you know, this is really a battle worldwide. And I wanted to have you on just recently. As you know, there was the Day of the Unborn Child, which is observed in many places on March the 25th. And I told our audience about that. But I wanted to bring you on because you in Peru had an official observance of this day. Yours is one of the nations that has officially observed the Day of the Unborn Child. So I thought we would start off by having you tell us about that observance, the history of it, how it came about, and what you do in Peru to observe that special occasion.
Well, Peru is a very pro-life country, and the Day of the Unborn Child is celebrated by law. This is very important because we have a law that proclaims the Day of the Unborn Child. So wow. Public entities, officials, and also private companies or entities celebrate every 25th of March, the Day of the Unborn Child. And we organize some pro-life event. The March for Life in Lima used to be, not now, it's sad to say so, but used to be one of the most important march worldwide. From 2013, when we gathered 100,000 people, and we started with the help of Cardinal Cipriani, to 2018, we gathered 800,000 people at the streets in Lima.
Wow.
Plus Arequipa and Piura, with two good archbishops also, we gather at the streets more than 1 million people celebrating life.
Wow. That is amazing. I mean, to think of that many people, you don't see many gatherings anywhere in the world of that size, and all for that theme of life. That is awesome.
Yes. And we are only now more than 30 million people, all the population in Peru. So you have 1 million on the streets. It means a lot. It means a lot, especially for the politicians, you know?
That's right. They see the popular support. Yes.
Yeah. And you need to think not only in pro-abortion politicians. Thanks to God, there are very few. But also the pro-life and the like-minded pro-life politicians who are very supported by this huge mass of people singing and praying and dancing. Well, the March for Life began very many years ago. The Day of the Unborn Child was began in 2002 in okay. Peru. The law was passed in the 2002. And the pro-life events was beginning and growing, and when in some times Cardinal Juan Luis Cipriani, in that time Archbishop of Lima, says we need to make a professional effort, a professional improvement of the March for Life,
because yes.
we are the people in church were copying the March for Life in United States, but the March for Life in United States is clearly a protest against the Roe versus Wade and the
right.
Oh, you know, you need to protest. But in Peru, we need to copy because we have pro-life laws.
Right.
So one of the first tips to change the initials, March for Life, was we don't need to protest. We need to celebrate.
Uh-huh.
This need to be a very huge party with a lot of young people. And you know, young people don't want to leave the party, no matter the time.
Yes.
March for Life started at 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Uh-huh.
And finished at 11 at night. And you know, in the main strip of Lima, a lot of young people from parishes, from Catholic movement, also Christian, not Catholic movement, who add to the march, but with trumpets, with musical instruments, and dancing and creating here their own songs. And this was a party to sing and dance. And
nice.
We produced some spots for social media. We have the official song of the, and we have a representation in a very fancy stage, and a stage like the midterm in the Super Bowl.
Yes.
With a lot of screens, huge screens, and you know, a lot of young people dancing and singing. This is very important to influence the politicians, because
yes,
politicians thinks in that way.
Yes.
If you have young people vote many times in their lifetime. We need to choose very well the politician who wants to be on the stage giving a lecture,
mm-hmm,
because we have a lot more than the real pro-life are. So it was a party. We managed to have a very, very large party of the streets. It was very impressive. You can see the videos in YouTube and show some image to your audience.
Yes, yes, and we will do that. And, you know, this is wonderful to hear because, you know, so many of the people watching now from across the United States, they are involved in many marches and rallies, which, like you said, are opposing something they don't like, opposing a bad policy or protesting. It's so refreshing to see in a nation where you have something like the Day of the Unborn Child declared by law, and the people are coming to celebrate what they love, what they see their nation doing in the right direction. That is such a refreshing thing. Now, you recently had not only this celebration, but also some progress in the law. Tell us a little bit about that. I know you stopped the pro-abortion forces in Peru, and of course now we have in the United States many pro-abortion threats, you know, many policies they are trying to impose. But tell us about some of the recent victories you have had with the law there in Peru.
Yes, I don't know the exact words in English. I'm not a native, you know, but the better defense is a good offensive.
Yes.
So,
yes. The best defense is a good offense.
Yes. That's other words. But so we need we have a protection of the unborn by the constitutions of the Peru, and
okay,
the civil code and the penal code prohibited abortion. And so the main law are pro-life, but we need to develop this concept in another laws. That's what the adversaries, the pro-abortion people do, or the gender people do. They produce a lot of norms, soft law, hard law, developments for that law, and they are producing laws in many aspects of life. So we were quiet in that aspect. But not anymore. We began to produce some developments of the good law in the Constitution and Civil Code. So last week, the president published in the official newspaper the law of protection of the pregnancy, the mother, pregnant mother, the unborn child, and the familiar environment. This is the law of our most cherished hashtag in social media. In social media, we say, we save the two lives. Salvemos las dos vidas. We right now have a law that protects the two lives and also includes the father, the familiar environment. So the state is obligated, the state must protect not only the mother, like the pro-abortion facially claims, but also the unborn child. All the pro-life, all the pro-abortion movement are talking about the protection of the lives of the mother, of the women, and promoting abortion in that way. But we now have a law that we can ask the doctors, the health professionals, and other people what they did to protect the unborn child. If they didn't do nothing, they are failing in their obligations. And this is a very high and very strong protection on the unborn child. Because if there is something that doctor hates, are a legal demand. I know very well because I used to work many years ago in the pharmaceutical companies. So I know very well the mindset of doctors, and I have a brother who is a doctor. So I know very well that a legal demand is like seeing the devil, seeing a demon, seeing a ghost. It's very scary for any doctor to have a legal demand.
Yes. This is really great the idea of the both lives, loving them both and the father, the truth that abortion destroys not just the baby, destroys the family, destroys the mother. These are truths that we are always trying to bring out in our battles against this evil. And like you're saying, this recently enacted law explicitly looks at that whole picture, all the different relationships involved. And it's such a beautiful goal for other nations to strive for. And that's one of the reasons I wanted to have you on tonight, because, our folks here in the United States need to have that vision, that encouragement to work towards the same kinds of policies. Do you have any recommendations as to how people in other places and other countries can observe each year the day of the unborn child? Maybe it's even personal practices or the family or the churches, or you have this established by law, like you said, in Peru. How would you encourage people around the world to observe the Day of the Unborn Child?
Yes. Population Research Institute, the organization that I worked the last 25 years, my office in Iberoamerica is in its 20th anniversary this year.
Oh, good.
Combines. Thank you, Father. Combines the political strategy, the legal strategy, and also communicational skills in one comprehensive strategy. Mm-hmm. Because the problem in many countries is that lawyers works independently, not taking in account that what is legally possible perhaps is politically wrong or political inconvenient.
Right.
Or we produce a bad communication. For example, in the March for Life, copying the protest in United States, we show the pictures of the aborted children.
Yes.
And it's not our experience in Peru. And everybody knows that we are very strong against abortion. Celebrating life, they know, everybody know, politician, the whole audience of people know that we are again very strong against abortion. But celebrating life is a kind of invitation of other people who perhaps not now are not 100% with us,
yes,
in the life statements or narrative. But Father, believe me, singing and dancing, after 1 hour singing and dancing, they are 200% with us.
Ah, interesting.
Because it's the world that we are living right now. And with this law, with this kind of law in favor of the unborn child, this is very interesting, Fadi, because the abortion congressman realized immediately that it was poison to the pro-abortion movement.
Yes.
And they protest, and they oppose very much. We can say nothing publicly, because who is the mad people opposing that the state protects the pregnant mother and his son or his daughter, the unborn son of the unborn daughter? But in that case, son of they made a mistake. And they say, if we pass this law, it's going to be impossible to ask a doctor to perform an abortion. They were right saying so.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I was goal with this law. My recommendation to other pro-life organizations is to combine the legal, the political, and the communication strategies in one.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps they will need to think before doing something, but that is the way. Population Research Institute, with my office, I'm 100% focused developing political tools and train pro-life activists. I gave more than 200 training sessions in 18 countries of the region, all the countries, and training the most important pro-life organizations in the region. And they are extraordinary people because the pro-life cause makes extraordinary people.
Mm-hmm.
You receive a medal from God, from other people, and from every single baby that borns going to be aborted.
Mm-hmm.
So, and perhaps some of the aborted babies, because not always we sometimes we fail, but I'm very sure that these souls, these babies, are waiting for us in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And they will be our advocates to the Father Almighty when we present ourselves to Him.
That is a beautiful note to a very beautiful note to conclude on, and to lead back into prayer. And I want to thank you for the efforts that you've made, the successes there in Peru, the example of celebrating life, and the example too of having declared by law a day of the unborn child. I hope that gets replicated throughout the world, and certainly we applaud that. And thank you, Carlos. I want to invite you and all our audience to join me as we turn back to the Lord here and pray for the continued success of these efforts in pro-life and the work of the Population Research Institute. We're very grateful to all your team, and thank you so much.
Thank you, Father.
Let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for the efforts of our brothers and sisters internationally as we engage this worldwide battle. Bless all of our citizens in our respective countries, that they may realize abortion is not a solution to any problem, but rather that it creates problems of its own. That it brings trauma, that it brings regret, that it brings all kinds of physical as well as emotional and spiritual harm. Bless, Lord, as we celebrate the gift of life and as we celebrate legal and political victories in many countries, bless our efforts to do the same in our own nation and wherever we might be. And we take together now all our prayers and praises, prayers for one another. Lord, meet all our needs, bless and provide for all that we ask of you. And we sum up all these prayers in offering the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Carlos Polo from Peru, Population Research Institute. Thank you again for joining us tonight. It's been a blessing for our audience and for me, and we look forward to talking to you again soon.
Hello, I'm Dr. Alveda King, board member of Priest for Life. More money is being spent in America to kill babies in the womb than to save them. Together, we need to change that, and today I want to invite you to support our work at Priest for Life. Why ours rather than other groups? Because we have a unique team that helps lead in every arena of the fight against abortion, and we activate the churches where you find people who are most likely to get involved in that fight. To awaken a pastor about abortion is to awaken thousands of people he serves. We do not receive church funding or government grants. We rely on you for individual donations. We have a very high evaluation among charities and top security on our donation site, prolifegift.org. You can go there for a one-time gift or to become a monthly donor, or you can call us at 321-500-1000.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast.
To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.